You know, after almost 6 years, you know that I love the church. And I've been known to preach about the church ever so often. The church envisioned by God, created by Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and really messed up by us. That's what Eugene Peterson wrote. He said, the church is composed of equal parts mystery and mess. God provides the mystery, and we are the mess. Psalm 133, I hope you have found that in your Bible, I believe speaks to the church. Only three verses in the entire psalm. We don't know the origin or the occasion of the psalm. Some believe that David wrote this psalm as the 12 tribes became one and thus they were unified. Others have said, no, the psalm was probably written about the unification of the city of Jerusalem. One commentator I read said that they didn't believe it had anything to do with the church, but that the psalmist was truly talking about the biological family of brothers and sisters and family being as one. We really don't know why or the occasion of the psalm writing. But I like this picture. I picture these believers of God, followers of Yahweh, who are making a pilgrimage. They've all gathered, and here they are, if you would, marching to Zion. All of these believers, all of these who love God, have come together as one, and together, unified in celebration, a picture of solidarity, making their pilgrimage up to that holy city. Oh, they were different. Differences were obvious. They came from various ones of the tribes and different cities, different dialects. I want to picture that they represented a whole collection of different walks of life, but they were one. They were one as the people of God moving upward to Jerusalem. And the psalmist proclaims how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together, walk together, march together in unity. How good and pleasant. Good is a God word. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created, and after day 1, God said, it is good. If you read the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, God said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And on that sixth day, he created mankind. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 2 said he created male alone, and it was not good that man was alone, so he created woman, and the two became as one, and it was very good. Unity. One. How good, the psalmist said, and pleasant. Pleasant is also a God word. Remember the Old Testament when sacrifices would be offered on the altar and the aroma would rise into the nostrils of God, and God would say it was pleasant. Fields of ripe grain are pleasant to the eyes. The harmony of music, if we don't mess it up, is pleasant to the ear. The Bible speaks of the sweetness of honey and the honeycomb, which is pleasing, pleasant. God's people living together. I believe the picture of the church as one is good and pleasant. Well, how good is it? Is a good question to ask. And the psalmist answers it in verse 2 and verse 3. How good is it? Picture it. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. This fragrant holy anointing oil from the head to the beard to the collar to the robe. Exodus chapter 29 and chapter 30 speak of Aaron's anointing. Anointing as high priest. And oil was always symbolic, is symbolic in Scripture as the indwelling presence of God and the Holy Spirit. The anointing was a setting aside and yet at the same time a bringing together. Anointing with oil is a holy moment, an outpouring of God's blessing. And when it's realized, you stand in awe and in celebration. What a picture. What a picture of unity the psalmist gives us. This oil covering, flowing down, sustaining, overwhelming. How good and pleasant. It's like oil, but it's also like dew. Verse 3, like the dew of Hermon falling down toward Mount Zion. The pilgrims, in my mind, are making a journey. They're going up to Zion, to the city of God. In 1990, Aurelia and I went to the Holy Land. We were in our first little church and took about seven folks and joined others and took a magnificent 2 weeks in the Holy Land. And I remember going up to Jerusalem, though not walking on those big chartered buses, and dust. And Jerusalem is so rugged and desolate and arid, but you don't have to go far. Mount Hermon and even some mountains on the south, almost dry. Dry days, still the mountain ranges are heavy and abundant with life-giving dew. Now, as East Texans, we know about dew. If you live out west, Walker, when you head to Tucson, they can't even spell dew. But we get it. Oh, do we get it. I mean, you can mow your yard at 8, 10, or 12, and it's still wet. It's still wet. I did it Friday. Started later than normal. Only six of you honked at me when I was mowing. And the ground was still wet. And I often wonder, the Lufkin Daily News, I don't know why they call it that because it's not daily. How can it be daily news when it comes Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday? But the Lufkin Daily News, I'm going to write a letter to the editor. And I'm going to say, wrap the paper in plastic every day. Why do they think about it? Why in East Texas would you not wrap the paper in plastic every day? It should just be normal. Because every day that they don't, and I grab my paper, it's wet. It's just wet. Even if I don't pick it up till noon, it is wet. And that's the picture, this heavy dew covering, sustaining, life-giving, overwhelming, how good and pleasant. Like oil falling down is unity. Like dew from Mount Hermon is unity. How good and pleasant. And today, how rare. How rare is unity in the church. Koinonia, fellowship, is fragmented in most churches at best. Church fellowship all around us has been broken and discarded like cheap pottery on a floor. Unity between church families has been decimated and destroyed, and in many churches unlikely to ever be restored. First Baptist Church, Lufkin, we've been there. No, not all of us. Some of us who've come around lately haven't been there, but some of you were there and you remember. And I think you need to tell your story more. I know we try to forget some of that. But some of that needs to be told so those of us who were not here remember. The pain, the division, the hurt. This church had a time when unity was just shot to hell. Now hear me, there's plenty of blame to go around. Blame the preacher, yes. Blame the staff. They deserve some of it. Blame the leadership, the deacons or those in the pew. Blame the denomination. They played a part in many a church splinter. Baptist politics and partisan politics that's out there that comes in here. Every once in a while, a church might even split about theology, but not too often. Usually it's about how we worship our the carpet. By the way, we're getting new carpet. We are. It's coming. It's on the boat. And I bet we won't split on carpet. You could make it red, green, blue, yellow, or well, not polka dot. But yeah, church is splitting over the color of the baseboards and the carpet in the youth room. And this church went through that, but God wasn't finished with First Baptist Church, Lufkin. There was a remnant that said, God, we will follow. God, we will stand behind. If you lead us, we want to follow. And grace swallowed up legalism, and mercy overwhelmed judgmentalism, and forgiveness became more than a word in the Bible. It became reality, and diversity was celebrated, and division lost, and unity became priority, and the church rose up and said, never again. Never again. Never again. Now, I'm not so oblivious or Pollyanna to believe that we won't have some moments, because pastors are nuts. I mean, they are, and they say and do crazy things, and I guess because they're human. And if you think pastors are nuts, then you call a staff, and they're really nuts. And staff relationships get strained. And next thing you know, we're on this side or that side. And listen, don't feel too comfortable, because some of you members are really nuts. And sometimes members in a church get mad, and then they get sad, and then they leave. That's not always bad. But the psalmist... Listen, if you don't highlight anything in your Bible of this summer about the Psalms, highlight this entire psalm. It's only three verses. The psalmist was right. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live, worship, do life together in unity. The unity was poured down. You see that throughout the scripture. It was poured on the beard. It was running down. It was running down. It was running down the collar. It was like the dew falling down. In the Hebrew, that's the same word used every one of those times, and it means descending from above. Unity is not something we can program, or something we can wish for, or something we can name it and claim it. We can't manufacture it. The Lord God, verse 3, the Lord God bestows His blessing, even life evermore. True unity is from above. True unity is bestowed by and blessed by God. Bonhoeffer wrote, Christ alone, yes, Christ alone, the basis of our fellowship, the basis of our existence, Christ alone, the basis of our unity. So it's Father's Day, and you may be saying, why didn't he just preach on fathers or Psalm 1, I was going there, Psalm 1, about a godly man. But I have to tell you, I'm a little Father's Day. I'm a father. And as I read this psalm, I thought of my kids. Adeline, our daughter, that you ordained a couple of years ago with some other women and Dan in our church in that November. Adeline is a minister to preschool. At a church in Waco last week, they had 252 preschoolers in their church. Can you imagine? 252 0-5-year-olds. Adeline loves her church. Truett has now been a pastor for 3 weeks, so he has 6 sermons. You go, bub, you'll get more. And this morning, Truett says, Dad, I think we're going to have some visitors, and he hopes to have more than 60 in worship. Truett loves the church. And so for a father to see his kids who love church and serve the church and feel God's call upon them to do church. Someone said, wow, you and Aurelia must have really done well. No, you know what it was? It's because my kids never saw anything about the church that wasn't unified. My kids have never seen a church split. My kids have never really seen church division. There were some Sundays I told them to stay home. My kids grew up in churches that understood Psalm 133 that said how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. My kids' picture of the church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, unified, not perfect, but one. Dads, you want to do something for your kids? Make sure you love the church. And make sure your kids' picture of the church is one. And dads, when you're tempted to belittle the church and cause dissension in the church and argue about the color of carpet in the church, remember your kids are seeing. No, the church is not going to be perfect as long as we're a part of it. God is the mystery. We are the mess, but with God's leading and with God's direction, the Lord bestows His blessing evermore. Thanks be to God for our church. And may we never forget where we've come from and where we're going. And may we never let a Sunday go by that we don't say thank you, God, for the unity that you have given us. All praise to God. Shall we pray? So, God, we march on. Just like the psalmist pictured, we're moving forward. We are diverse and we are different. Some are really different. And we don't all think alike. We don't all vote alike. We don't all agree, but we are one, unified as the body of Christ. How good and pleasant it is. It must be. Oh God, continue to shower your blessings on us. That means the time, God, we need to get out of the way and let you lead, and we simply need to follow. Thank you for these 3 small verses in the middle of the psalm that remind us of how good and blessed it is. May that be the story of this church, is my prayer in Christ's name.